Good morning, good morning. We are dancing in with Soul Mikasa, Mano Dibango. This is Charlotte Farrell, your own Sister C, right here in the place to be, CJSF Radio 90.1, with your Friday Speak Up Show. Have we got a treat in store for you. Good morning, good morning. This is CJSF Radio 90.1 in Burnaby, the Salua Show. I'm the host, Charlotte Sister C. Farrell, and this show, Salua, is where my guest and I listen up so that they can act upon, sorry. Salua is where a guest and I speak up so you can listen up and act upon what you've heard. Today is a celebration of International Poetry Month. Today is a celebration of a goal that Jesse and I had to complete a song, a poem, poetic song called I Choose to Challenge. So this morning we're going to be playing that. And while we usually have the guests that come to the Poetry Pop-Up give some feedback to each other, today I'm going to be brave enough to take their feedback. Our show is... Excuse me, I'm getting hoarse. The rain that we've had off and on all week at unpredictable times in Vancouver have given me an unpredictably occurring hoarseness. So Jesse, the program public affairs director for CJSF, is going to lead with our land acknowledgement.
Thanks, Charlotte. Today's program and all of CJSF's programs are produced on the unceded and ancestral territory of the Hunkaminam and Squamish-speaking peoples who have been here on these lands in this place since time immemorial and have been living and telling stories and building lives and otherwise being here and being human since a time before memory. And I think we're all, I know I personally feel, and I think we all feel very grateful to be able to be in these lands and to be here today.
I am happy to be here in a place where we say that we welcome new music. We welcome people. People don't have to come with a bag of money and their first child or their puppy to have an opportunity to have their music heard. We have a music selection. We have volunteers who listen to music that people bring in. We tell people they can mail it in so that people listen. So there's a fair chance of you getting to have your music heard on the station. That leads me to... I'm trembling. You know, it's like this is a baby, and it is reflecting on some of the things that we have to do as choices, but braving the challenge to do it. So without further ado, I'm going to say, you are going to hear Choose to Challenge. I Choose to Challenge.
Yeah, it's just going to take me a second to get that set up. Before we get started, I just wanted to introduce our guests for today, the rest of the crew. Hello, Neil. Hello, Ramona. Hello, Cynthia. Thanks for joining us.
They all will be giving me some riff. And in case no one has heard of riff before, it's not rip. It is respectable, friendly, inspiring, interesting, friendly food feedback. And that partly came to be because sometimes over the more than 20 years that I've taken part in community poetry readings or events, sometimes I've left seeing people feel like they were ripped because they didn't get a chance to bring or say their poem. One person might do 10 poems and then the others don't get one. So it's part of the reason that when people do their work, it's in a round robin, even if they have 3 poems, and some people do because we have some prolific writers here, but each person does one, and then we go on to the next person receiving or presenting their work.
All right, and this is I Choose to Challenge.
I choose to challenge. I choose to challenge the ways that I spin. waking hours, working hours, hours with a friend. I choose to challenge the ways that I write, poignant thoughts, praiseworthy thoughts, thoughts that transform wrong to right. I choose to challenge the status quo, rights for those that may not even know, housing rights, health rights, so-called inalienable rights, rights that enable joy, peace, and love to ascend. I choose to challenge the colors that I wear, colors of purple, burgundy, or gray for my hair. I choose to challenge the practices that limit employment advances, creative concepts, efforts that take each voting right and flip it. I choose to challenge the practices we harbor, solo cars, plastic packaging, digital devices for every room. I choose to challenge. I choose to seek alternatives to loneliness and isolation, hub housing, corner stores, theaters, and bookstores with cafes, engaging activities for families, fun, friends, and simple relaxation. I choose to challenge the barriers left unchecked, glass ceilings, heritage ceilings, hidden color dealings. I choose to seek electric words that ignite collaboration between generations, races, and genders, nudging hearts and minds to nurture other beings. I choose to challenge you. I choose to challenge me. I choose to challenge us to be the best we can be. I choose to challenge me. I choose to challenge you. I choose to challenge us to be the best we can be. I choose to challenge you. I choose to challenge me. I choose to challenge us to be the best we can be. Be the best you can be.
That was amazing, Charlotte. Can I share my impressions?
Yes.
Okay, so I found it like really awesome because of the way you read your poem, almost like a song. It was full of vibrant energy, and I loved your choice of words. Very, very powerful. Especially all the different kind of rights that you mentioned, housing rights, inalienable rights, and the colors. I liked your choice because purple, burgundy, matching your hair, and that line, that one line, nudging hearts and minds to nurture others. That really touched my heart. And of course, your invitation at the end, to be the best that we can. Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you,
for
Ramona.
This beautiful poem.
I'd like to respond to something that you're so good at, and that is the cadence of your delivery was just absolutely perfect. I could almost bounce along with it. It was your and I don't take this the wrong way, but your preaching is perfect. I got the message clearly, and thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you, Neil. It means a lot.
Like what Ramona said, I love the focus on rights, and I love especially that you're looking for rights that allow joy, peace, and love to ascend. You know, like with housing, with everyone being okay, then we can focus on a higher structure of society, just the love, the peace, the being at ease, the following our dreams. I love that you let the song breathe in places, like Ramona mentioned too, like the color, the hair colors and things. Like we're getting a message, but in between the hard-hitting facts, like housing rights and human rights and tackling racism and misogyny, we also get a moment to laugh and breathe and be uplifted. And I love that you have this song that's hammering out truth and at the same time including everybody and making everyone of all ages, I would think, feel uplifted in its rhythms. So I love that you include all of us and that it's non-judgmental at the same time as it's uplifting, right? That you're challenging you're challenging me, you're challenging us as a group. And I love the room you give people to be allowed to grow. It was very non-judgmental. We're not being blamed for our mistakes. We're being uplifted into learning to create a better and more inclusive society. I love that you made us feel good while getting that message. So thank you. Listeners didn't get to see it, but there's such an awesome photo of Charlotte that we got to see. I hope that gets posted on the website.
Jesse took it.
Yeah, well, and so it will be posted to the website. It's also on Bandcamp, where the song is now posted and available for streaming and download. So you can check the picture out and the song itself at charlottesistacfarrell.bandcamp.com. That's charlottesistacfarrell.bandcamp.com. We'll post a picture to the cgsf.ca website as well.
And you can buy it, you know. One of the delays that we often have, some of us have, some people have no hesitation, but there's an old line from Shakespeare, somebody, that says, "Methink thou thinkest too highly of thyself." And we had a teacher that used to say that. So it's sometimes when I've written things, you know, I've put them away or I've moved past that. I mean, the feedback that you gave me is that it is important to share something with people. And if you share it without hitting them across the head. But I really appreciated the feedback that you gave, and it's one of the reasons that we do have this riff. Yeah, I think Neil said more than a year ago he had lots of poems, but he'd never written a book. And so the change, we've all noticed the change since he wrote that book and he got onto the freeway, many freeways, and drove with his own book. It's really an exciting thing when we move from, I'll put it over here, people may not like it, and have the temerity to get out and get out onto the road and take it to people to see it. So Dr. Ramona, also we're listening for your book because you have shared so much good feedback to people over the year that we've been doing Poetry Pop-Ups. But I feel that book birthing from you with lots of the things that you encourage people to do, things that when everybody's saying, I don't know what's going to happen, or you give such clear direction. I mean, Cynthia, you are like outside the door, there's a warmth coming in, saying, I've got books in here. But beyond that, you've made that step from becoming just a reader or writer to being a publisher. And so as you introduce bits of information about each other, and we continue to share what others of you have done during Poetry Month or throughout the year to keep poetry not only alive, but keep poetry being one of those things that we can use to touch people's hearts, touch their minds, and inspire them. And to go on over to Cynthia, who is a writer, a librarian, a retreat producer, introduce yourself briefly, and then you will bring in the next person that's going to share their poetry.
Oh, yeah, thanks, Charlotte. My name is Cynthia Sharp, and I'm a poet and an author. You can find my books in the Burnaby Public Library and other libraries. And I'm so happy to get to host the open mic part of the show. Also, I just love the joy that Charlotte started the show off with, the joy in your work and how you've made working for Wright so joyful. And so our first reader today, are we going on to the open mic, I think? Yes. Our first reader is Ramona. And so Ramona, when you come on, just let us know a little bit about you, where to find your work and stuff, and we'll hear a poem from you.
I thank you. Thank you, Cynthia. And thank you, Charlotte, for encouraging us to share whatever we write with everyone. So I'm Ramona. I'm a retired professor, Bombay University, a writer of academic texts, mostly history and French, and just taking baby steps into writing poetry on this forum, where I'm always awed by all the other, you know, terrific poets. However, I'm going to try and share the poem on the prompt now. And here it goes. In the stillness of this moment, time dissolves. A breath, a heartbeat, the world fades into quiet. Thoughts swirl like leaves in autumn. Past regrets and future dreams, clattered echoes of what was, what could be. But here, in the embrace of now, they lose their grip. Awareness blooms, a gentle light illuminating the ordinary, the warmth of sun on skin, the rustle of leaves, the pulse of existence. In this presence, there is no struggle, no need to chase or resist. Acceptance washes over, each second a gift, each sigh a reminder. The mind quiets, the self unravels, and in the stillness, we find our true essence, not defined by thoughts, but by the pure experience of being. Let go. Let the now unfold, where freedom resides, where peace is not a destination, but the very fabric of life. Thank you.
Well, I like that peace is not a destination, but the very fabric. I'm feeling the fabric of our lives. That's such a beautiful line and imagery. I also like the tone and pacing, because you are speaking in a way that people can follow the breeze and feel the breeze. Very sensual poem. And so I am so happy to remind you, as we did about a year ago, when you said, I'm not a poet, I'm a singer. I just write songs. And now we have these poems that are ready to be recorded. It's such beautiful flow.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Charlotte. It's all because of your encouragement. Thank you.
I really loved acceptance washes over. And I love that, like Charlotte kind of said, we feel it. Like your poem went inside my body. It started cerebral, but it got into my body, like Charlotte mentioned, the wind. And I felt like your words give the listener the gift of embodying right now. Like you let my whole body feel how peaceful it is to be here and now. So thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Cynthia. That was beautiful.
I would like to say to you, your opening to the next adventure. I told you a year ago, at least a year ago, maybe more, that your shyness to participate as a poet. I already know you're a poet. And so I'm really happy for you that you're venturing into that realm, and love your work. I love your work. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. Thank you. You are my inspiration, actually.
Are you?
That's a nice segue into Neil Ryan, who will be our next reader. And just let us know a little bit about yourself, Neil, maybe a quick update on what's going on with your book adventures and your first poem.
Well, I started writing poetry a long time ago now. I was on a project in England and saw something that caught my curiosity. So a church that had been bombed in the war. So I just kept on writing. I just see something and would keep on writing. As it turns out, I now have, maybe 20 years later, I have two books, both of which were published last year. And I used to be a businessman, and this part of me, the creative part of me, had to come out. So I started writing poetry. And this is International Poets Month. And I have, the first book that I published was called From the Other Side. And I am honored that it is featured on the Los Angeles Times newspaper that is known for its selection of books who people who have written. But as I started to say, is that it International Poets Month, and the first poem in my book, the first poem is called The Poet. The poet responds to a voice that reaches down to us from the other side. It emerges down through the noise and clatter of the mind and speaks to the poet. When that voice gets shared, we call that poetry. And them that give utterance to the gift, we call them poets. The voice that speaks to the poet transforms a simple wordsmith into a profound speaker of wisdom, one who puts pen to paper so that all may hear the insight and wisdom that springs forth from the offerings of that voice. Words waft and weave in the air emanating from the poet, expressed with the intent to share a recognition of our common humanity. The poet expounds the truths of our common problem of being half animal, full of wants and needs, as well as half spirit, full of prayers and chants. At the beginning of time, the voice spoke the poem around the fire and then retold the story painted into the walls of caves. That voice tells and retells of the epic journey of humanity, repeated generation after generation from the eons upon our common past. The voice utters words speaking from the deepest, darkest part of our memory, beyond conscious thinking, but recognized by our collective memory. That poetic voice, can be understood by every human being in this world, without regard to race, color, ethnicity, gender, or religious belief. We are all the same human. Only the outsides are different. The poetry speaks to everyone as we all share a common memory. Emerging from our distant past, it is the same voice that spoke to the poets who wrote the Iliad, the Odyssey, the Epic of Gilgamesh, and the rhyme of the Ancient Mariner and Ozymandias, King of Kings. It is the voice that spoke to our forefathers, and we recognize a few of their names: Ovid, Homer, Rumi, Shelley, and Tagore. Untold others in every language, in every time, poets speak to us of our common ancestry from when we become aware of that this life is a series of experiences of tragedy and of joy. Poets share in a million ways the joys and tragedies we all recognize, a tale of heartbreak and horror, of joy and ecstasy. Poets share the story of what it is to be human, a journey common to us all. Thank you.
I feel like I've been just traveling through history. I was feeling the inside of a cave and then seeing a poet in prison, but then seeing poets with gathering. The images that came from that poem just validated how poetry is one of the things that knits races, genders, countries together. So thank you for that. I really feel like I've been on a plane and just been from rural to city to by the waterside to inside a cave. So thank you for the way that you bring all of that forth in a poem.
Neil, I love the way you talked about the other world that poets dig into, that really deep inner world, and how poets kind of go across that line into that world and bring it forth for other people. That was just so well said and well embodied in your work.
Thank you, Cynthia.
Are there any more comments for Neil? Here's Ramona.
Oh yeah, I'd love to. And that I was like so struck by the poem. I just couldn't speak. First and foremost, Neil, I find it wonderful that you shared this poem on this very, in this very historic month, if I may call it that, for poets. And then you spoke of that voice. I was wondering what exactly makes me write, and you spoke of that voice which comes from the other side, and it tells that epic story of creation. Like Charlotte said, it was just like going through history, you know, and the thought you gave us that we are all the same, only the outsides are different. And how that voice has spoken over the ages to various poets who wrote the Iliad and the Odyssey, and spoke to poets all around the world, including Rumi and Tagore. It was just beautiful, and you reminded us that it's a journey for all of us. Thank you, Neil.
Felt a lot of that sense of the Odyssey and things too in that work. So such a nice point that Ramona brought up.
I am so grateful that I am allowed to share these ideas with you. I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, Charlotte.
Well, thank you for always coming and bringing a light and taking us on a different, we're all in the same journey, but you give us so many feelings. So each of you give feelings that are important. And it just makes it a part of my head want to draw an X over the doors of librarians or teachers who said to this person the other, oh, that doesn't rhyme, or downplayed what could have been a beautiful testimony about life in someone by giving them their notion of the rules and pacings, etc. So thank you.
And what a good point, Charlotte, about the importance of encouragement and never discouraging, never doing harm in any role we're in, just never doing harm. I'm Cynthia Sharp, and I'm going to read my poem about now for National Poetry Month. And I love how Charlotte's theme now is so appropriate for National Poetry Month. And yeah, so now, this is co-written with my friend Dennis L. White, and it's a quatern, it's our second quatern. We did one last month as well. So you can probably guess by the title, by the name quatern, that there are four is very important. There are four stanzas, and each stanza has four lines, and each one has a line that moves to a different place in each stanza. They have eight syllables per line, and they rhyme. So this is a fun poem about now. Amid the hope of April dreams. Amid the hope of April dreams, as cherries bloom in balmy wind, bright stars behold pink-petaled streams, and all this warmth I can't rescind. Aroma wafts on gentle breeze, amid the hope of April dreams. The flowery scent the nostrils tease, while bees buzz by with nectar schemes. A whirlwind dances airy themes. Each blade awakes with morning dew. Amid the hope of April dreams, sweet sunlight paints my life anew. While nature shares her vivid worth in verdant hues and pastel creams, we witness beauty, spring's rebirth, amid the hope of April dreams. So thank you, everyone. That's our latest quatern.
Oh, I love that quatern. It was so contrasty in images. And then picturing the sunlight coming in through the room, it just is a part of my brain to say, oh, you could do all that and keep with the rules. Because sometimes the rules of a particular style, it doesn't work for me. But listening to it, it was so admirable, picturing the purple and the hues of an April morning. It's like, oh, I want part of that. I like that. Yeah, so
and
thank
I
you.
I found it really interesting. I used to be someone who had rebelled against rules, and most of my writing is freestyle. My friend Dennis is really into making sure that we learn every structure that we want to learn. And it reminded me of how Jane Monroe, when I interviewed her, she's an award-winning poet, and she said, structure gives creativity something to push against. And I thought that's really interesting, because I'm finding I'm getting really great work, or work I enjoy creating, with structure. And Robert Frost also talked about structure, because he wrote in iambic pentameter, 10 syllables per line, and he said structure gave him a chance to use words he wouldn't ordinarily use. I'm paraphrasing him, but I thought, yeah, structure is a really fun thing for people who think they can only do free verse or just want to be super free. It actually gets things contained and finished. So it was really, I'm really enjoying being challenged to try structure.
And then you teach, Ramona, you'd be have in common that you have had a history of teaching. Cynthia, also tell us about something special you have coming up at the library that there might be readers who want to, listeners who want to hear our readers.
So my next event is in Salt Spring Island on May 1st. And I would love, if anyone's in the Gulf Islands, if you're planning to take a trip there and you happen to be there on May 1st from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Salt Spring Public Library, I'll be the featured author. It's free, and there'll also be an open mic, first come, first serve. It's just a wonderful library. It's all very environmental. I love libraries. And also just want to give a huge shout out to everyone in Burnaby who came out to my workshop at the Burnaby Public Library. For StrideFest, we partnered, the Burnaby Public Writers Society partnered with the Burnaby Public Library, and we had a wonderful sensory writing workshop. So immense gratitude to everyone in Burnaby who came out for that. It made me love Burnaby, made me love the Burnaby Public Library. Our libraries in Canada are just so giving, and we have such talented library staff, and so many wonderful events happen there. I just really recommend for writers and readers that they go and check out events at libraries. Yeah, and if you're in Salt Spring Island, please come see me. Also, just a quick thank you to everyone who came out to my Powell River Library reading. I did a little workshop in Powell River, and that's another incredible library, just an incredible town, incredible group of readers and writers who came out to hear poetry. I think we're so lucky and blessed and lucky in Canada to have such amazing library staff and libraries that are a free space for us to gather and discuss ideas. And I think that's a really important gift that we have here, right, and gift to gather freely in public.
And speaking of feedback from our audience, sometimes people will send me an email, but they said, I didn't know all those things were happening in the library. And in fact, there have been these people that have said, oh, nobody goes to the library anymore. Well, ha, ha, ha. Cynthia.
We were sold out. It was free, but I mean, we it was sad to have to turn people away from events. So hopefully we'll have more, but they fill up. Yeah, I think the library is very important. And free events are very important.
I agree with you, Cynthia. The libraries here in Canada, they have been the highlight of my coming to Canada. And that's what I always speak about to everyone whenever I talk to my friends in India, because that was something we didn't grow up with. I mean, we did have libraries, but they were very few and far away, and here I find there's one in every location, and like you mentioned, the librarians are so kind, and I noticed that parents bring, you know, little children to the library, so they're getting them interested, and many libraries I think have a separate floor for children, and then, you know, the books are at the height that they can reach. And so I would never be able to live without the Libby app, which is on my library. Most of my day is spent with, you know, reading, and my children don't know what I'm doing. So they say, you're just like a teenager. You're always on the phone. I'm not on the phone. I'm reading on the Libby app. So thank you, Canada, for your libraries. Amazing.
And thank you, Ramona and Cynthia, for being excited advocates of the library, because, you know, sometimes I'm up at the Simon Fraser campus, and sometimes I'm downstairs here at Megaphone, 312 Main, the downtown studio of CGSF, and I'll ask people about the library, and they say, oh, nobody goes to the library anymore. I said, oh, I choose to challenge that. Okay, we have time to have another round.
I just want to say, Cynthia, thank you for another gentle poem. Thank you. I love the April mornings.
Yes.
And the colors. Thank you.
I feel like velvety, like I'm going out the door that there'll be pink and some type of velvety textured plant that I'll pass walking down the street.
I know we're going to start another round, but I wondered if Charlotte had time to let us know a little bit about the background of I Challenge and how you made it such a positive rhythm when it's such a serious message.
I was actually writing something for Women's Month, but I had been at a meeting where people were talking about the impossibilities of intergenerational or the impossibilities of this or that. And if you scream out loud in a place, they have people who pick you up. So I went home and I started really scribbling just out different things that I challenged, that people are saying, you know, like nobody. I had to find a CD with the poem on it, because there was a point when I was doing CDs, lots of poems, and you brought your case of CDs and you sold them. But I just challenge the mean speech of people who want to put down other people, to blame other people. And there's kind of one of the lines of people driving. I took a picture of a light where the whole row, of course, just had one person. And so challenging the notion that, you know, it isn't a good idea to share, or it's too hard to ride share, instead of using all that high-priced gas and or putting, you know, the elements of driving out into the atmosphere. So just different things that I've heard and that were things I couldn't scream out loud. That's not so. I just thought I'll gently put it into these lines, and then I hum, I don't sing. And learning that Jesse was a musician, I said, this is a poem that I've written, and, you know, do you think you could make it pop, or, you know, make it, and so that whole rhythm was an opportunity of working together. Again, collaboration. I believe in collaboration, and, you know, collaboration of someone like Neil, who takes big cars out on the freeway driving 65 miles an hour in an 85 mile an hour zone. But just, I really appreciate the way that Jesse was able to get the tone and feel and sounds without distracting it from the message. And now that I've put those things forward, some people have asked about, you know, playing at events, having it as something that would be a writing experience. The whole thing of writing experience, of how it goes from writing it to then the next step, taking it out of the closet, taking it out of the stack, going and actually, you know, finding a musician, somebody that will work with you. I had a musician tell me once, because I've been doing kind of word beat poems for 10 years, but at the point that I was at a jazz afternoon, and I liked what the group was playing, and so I asked the band leader, how could I get somebody here to work with me? I have some poems I'd like to, you know, change into music. I can't sing, but I'd like to, you know, do a pattern with it. And he says, okay, watch while you're up there, and watch who's watching you. And he said, you know, there's some people that rap at the table, or some people, even when they're playing a bass viol or whatever, when you are doing your poems, watch who tries to flow along with you. So I did find someone in that way. And I think that getting rid of just fixed notions we have, oh, they wouldn't like that, or nobody likes that, or that's not what happened, what's happening now. Since I moved from just having the recording and for a month or months saying to Jesse, I think I want to release it, just going ahead and doing it. And so I really want to thank the people within this group for the riff, the importance of getting respectful, interesting, inspiring, friendly feedback really helped me with moving from just having it and having a recording and saying, what do you think, to putting it out there where many people have been able to not just say what they think, but say that, you know, it's inspired them to take the messages, take the things that they'd like to share with people and get them out and get them be heard.
Thank
that
you,
was
Charlotte.
Terrible grammar.
Incredible answer. I just want to say, too, like, what I love about your work, and I think you're almost unique, or in a small group of people who do something tremendously important, is that your work creates a safe space for people to learn and grow, so that people can show up and become more aware of something without feeling ashamed of what they didn't know before. And I think that's how we make social change, is by creating a safe space for people to learn in, where everybody's welcome, and you do that. And that's amazing. And you do that here too, by giving us a chance to read. So we'll go to Ramona for a second poem.
I want to mention, Cynthia, that I love your soothing voice and gentle rhythm in the poem that you read. And I just have a very, very short one now. So here it goes. In the stillness, a breath unfolds, carrying the weight of the present moment. Each heartbeat, a reminder, here, now, is all there is. Thank you.
Wow. Can you read that first line again?
Okay. In the stillness, a breath unfolds.
Well, I just pictured that. I'm picturing that. The breath unfolding and giving birth. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Charlotte.
Yeah, I love the yoga feel to that.
Yes. Yeah, that reminds us of the importance of breath. Pranayam.
Any more thoughts for Ramona? We're also going to move over to Neil and hear another piece from you if you have one.
I am told that the breath is what gives us life. And thank you for giving me breath. Thank you, Ramona.
Thank you, Neil.
I've been reading every night. I read either and quite often both a poem from my book, and also I have my second book, The Brighton Tarot Card Mystery, which is just short stories, and the paperwork in the front of it is to remind me that I wrote two books and I'm the author of both without any computer support, without any AI support. But what's the next poem that I will read today? And the difficulty is I have 60 poems. And as I read through the poems, I discover I am a poet. I find that incredible, really. But one of the poems I decided to share today, it just came to me that I think maybe this is, considering the time that things are changing right now, and the universe is making the bullies come out of the woodwork, if you want to talk about the politicians. And anyway, this, I actually had some seeds from the Bodhi tree, and they now reside with my life partner, and she's got them. So, but I wrote a poem called The Seeds. The seeds of the Bodhi tree carry the vibrations from centuries and centuries past, through times of joy, through times of sorrow. The seeds have collected the vibration of the time. Through times of harvest and plenty, through times of hunger and grief, the seeds have witnessed and watched as civilizations came and went, paying attention to the vibration evoked, shifting from yin to yang and from yin back again. The seeds of the Bodhi tree listen to the vibration of Krishna instructing Arjuna in his karmic duty. The seeds attended the vibration of the Buddha receiving his enlightenment. The seeds listened as Jesus offered his wisdom to those gathered on the mount. The seeds heard the vibration of Alexander, of Nero, of Constantine, and of the Khan Temujin. The seeds collected the vibrations of Hitler, of Mao, of Gandhi, of leaders, of followers, and all who came and went, both the powerful and the powerless. The wisdoms of the seed of the Bodhi tree is knowing everything in the universe is a vibration. In process and sooner or later will change. The events of today are not the events of tomorrow. The struggles of today will pass and become the lies of tomorrow, depending on the author and of the events of the past. The inside of the seeds of the Bodhi tree is telling of the groundlessness of permanence, and as they wait in silence for the next chapter in the telling of the story of life. Thank you.
I love the juxtaposition of the groundlessness of permanence, mm-hmm. and your truth about what seeds hold, all the history they hold, all of everything they've witnessed. So beautifully shared.
The way that you bring out the different things that the seeds see or observe, if a person didn't know those people in history, they didn't know Jesus, they didn't know Nero, they didn't know, it would tend to make a person curious, you know, why were the seeds listening, or who were these people, why did that guy write those names, or, you know, it was really beautiful imagery, because when I'm listening to your poems, it's like I'm sitting over, I don't know, right today I'm seeing a cave with a fire outside where behind there's nothing scary back there. It's just a structure. There's a formation. And floating past are these words or these scenes that help you to like not only the cadence but wonder about the people that he speaks to. It's a sneaky way of getting people to read history, Neil. But I love your work. Thank you.
I love the idea that you took the seeds of the Bodhi tree, because that is where Shakyamuni Buddha is supposed to attain enlightenment. And then, of course, you went on to say that the seeds are a witness as civilizations come and go. And I love Charlotte's idea also. That's very true. If young people read this poem today and they don't know who these people are, I guess that would make them curious to read about them. And the line I liked is, everything is a vibration, because that is like extremely true and philosophical. And somehow you managed to put it in. The seeds are now silent while they wait for the next evolution. Thank you so much, Neil. There's so much to say about your poem.
Tell us again the name of the poem.
The Seeds of the Bodhi Tree.
Bodhi Tree.
And you can find it at your public library.
Yes, I'm in the Vancouver. I'm in the Nanaimo Public Library, and you know, I really believe the words in the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, and I made reference to the teachings of Krishna to Arjuna, because that's very important in my life. But all of them, the words of Jesus on the Mount, all of the wisdom, it's not from one teacher, it's from every teacher. It's all about love. And the lack of love and the contribution of love. So I chose that one out of 60 poems in my book, From the Other Side. I chose that one as being one of the most important of my writings, and I'm happy to share it with you all. I really am privileged to share it with you all.
Thanks so much, Neil. On that theme of all about love, and on Charlotte's theme of the now, I have a short poem just celebrating these moments we have here in Vancouver Burnaby Spring.
That's wonderful.
For all our dreams, the white misted sky opens to a cerulean canvas. Bluebells in the wind, honeybees in lavender. The strength of spring unfolds, shedding fears with retreating winter. Like butterflies returned, spirits embrace now, and we stay present to answer our calling. So I'm Cynthia Sharp, and with your gift of now, a spring poem. You can also find my books in public libraries through Canada, and if you're in the Gulf Islands, come see me on May 1st in Salt Spring Island.
Okay. Thank you for that. I have a short poem that I'm going to put into our ending, and it's from my book. Sister C wrote a book, and the book is called From Pillows to Pillars. Learn to put your problems into poems and celebrate life's little joys. And it was a book written, now it's available online as an ebook. And the publisher was Arthur House, but this book, poetry took me from anger, grief, heartache, then the resurgence of faith, love, and hope. At one point, I had anger 26, hope 2. So it's a family love affair. It is an eternal wellspring, even when everything is not perfect. The love that can be unearthed, tapped, drawn to the surface, savored. When you reflect on family love, family is blood and non-blood connected relationships that nurture and nudge, pinch and sometimes pull, but ultimately create heaven on earth for the soul. Sister C. And so it brings us to the end of yet another poetry pop-up. Treasure each one of your contributions and the ways that you are obviously inspiring others, because there are some people who listen to the radio, those people who say people don't listen to the radio, who've mentioned that they enjoy hearing the poetry. A couple of people in this building, Megaphone, I get here early sometimes and I ask people, what are you reading? And there's a street paper called Megaphone, and it is a program that helps people not only sell the paper, but gives them an opportunity to publish. So I just will say thank you today for the ways that you've inspired me. Thank you for the ways that you'll be inspiring the people who hear this program on Friday. And thank you for those who, there's still half of the month left, International Poetry Month. Sit, like Neil said, he reads one of his poems every night. Sit and look at something that you might have scratched on. Write it up, type it up, and you can come down to our station and bring it up. What's the ways, again, if somebody has music or something that they want to have read, to have an opportunity to be listened to on the radio?
You can either come by the radio station at room 1420 of the Student Union Building at SFU, the Burnaby campus, or you can get in touch for music with our music director, Connor. That's CJSF_music@SFU.ca.
And when people ask me what time it is, I say it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers, poem time, love time. time for you to reveal to me. Unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace. Rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words. Place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time. Poem time, love time. Love time, poem time. Times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time. Time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time. Times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time.